This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It's the Gareth Cliff Show, the 2nd of September 2019. Happy Monday. Happy, well, is it the day after Spring Day? Happy Spring.
Yeah, it would, if you tend to have like a spring day at work, today would be the day.
Yeah, you still have like the first 7 days to say Happy Spring.
It's just like, when do you cut people off when they start saying Happy New Year? It's one of those things. I'm Sia with Leanne and Michael with, you know, taking charge of the show. Let's put it that way. Gareth is still on holiday. I think if you follow him on Instagram in particular, you know that he is here, he's there, he's everywhere. And I think he really is loving Italy, and was a great decision for him, because I just saw that he was posting every single historical statue, old building, old something, and he was telling the story behind it. So look, he's not complaining at all.
Jeez, he must be loving like the architecture and the story behind every statue in Italy. When I went there, I literally just went for the pizza, and that's all I wanted. And then I was disappointed when I found out they didn't cut it. They don't cut your pizza there. You have to cut your own pizza.
Is that the greatest disappointment in your life? No. Around Italy,
I guess. I was there when they had the earthquake.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that?
What? How much
damage? Don't you remember? I even phoned into the show. We were literally sleeping at night, and the cupboard started shaking, the bed started shaking. And then we had to get like up and evacuated at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
And that was the day that we got to meet the Pope, because the Pope was now giving an address on the earthquake, and we were going to the Vatican that day. And someone in the tour group, he was involved in something, and we got invited to come like sit next to the Pope. And he came and he greeted us and he thanked us for coming. It was really awesome.
Jeez.
Yikes.
How do you guys not remember that?
I remember it vaguely. But also, the older you get, the more your brain has to make space for new information. So you just let go of old stuff.
True.
I feel like I need to say sorry, Michael, for not remembering that. Well, before we get into news, you can always message us on 079-748-2090. You can tweet us, you can Skype us as well. You know the whole spiel. Ruth says, thanks, guys. Was feeling cuck now. After the song, feel slightly better. Have a fab Monday. Ah, that's cool. And then Ash also sent us a message saying, damn it, Flex, that is a genius idea about making the eToll gantries big data collectors. Missed you on the show, guy. Ash.
Okay. Is that Ashley with the surname that starts with a G?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. I know exactly who you are.
Ooh.
I think she tweeted me once, and I was like, oh, this person's really cool.
Oh, it's a he.
Oh, I mean, he tweeted me. Sorry.
It's a he on the side. I don't know. I won't delve too much down that road. And then Rob asked, well, something about Google and the ladies. I can't see the rest of that message, but okay. Well, there's always something about Google there. So, yeah, let's carry on a bit with the show. Let's discuss some of the news stories this morning. What has been happening over the weekend? Leanne, what's in the news?
Well, you know that Prince Harry and Meghan are on their way to Africa to tour.
Yes. Oh.
Including South Africa.
Yes.
So Prince Harry has opened up over the weekend about their first royal tour as a family of three in a sweet post on his joint Instagram account with Meghan. Mm-hmm. He said, in just a few weeks, our family will be taking its first official tour to Africa, a region of the world that over the past two decades has been a second home to me. Our team has helped create a meaningful program that we are so excited to share with you. On a personal note, I can't wait to introduce my wife and son to South Africa. We'll see you all very soon, the Duke.
See, it's so cool that he comes here and he like donates money, but he gets so much flack for going on holiday because he's part of an initiative about global warming, etc. And then he's flying around in private jets to get to these places.
People must just
But they don't understand, he can't fly commercial. Like, it's a safety issue and everyone's going to swarm him.
So he can, and they have in past.
In commercial.
Commercial. They'll fly a big commercial plane, but they'll be like in first class or something. Even, you know, like Will and Kate have been spotted on commercial planes.
Really?
This is, you know, I love the royals. I absolutely do love them. But I'll also speak on the other side and say, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't really throw stones. And when they go as far as saying, you know, let's save the earth and we're only going to have two children because we care about our impact on planet
they're
earth.
They're only having two children.
That's what they said. You know, they said they're only going to have two.
That's what you're supposed to do. One to replace you and one to replace your partner.
You know, when you go as high and mighty as saying things like that, you know, I feel like encouraging people to recycle is one
pretty
thing.
Pretty bold.
Going as far as saying, no, only two children to save the planet, blah, 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 blah. And then you have four private flights in a week. That's kind of a lot. But I also get that, you know, they then donated money afterwards, and actually it was Elton John who had paid for them. And
It was Elton John's plane, and they made sure that the plane was, excuse me, like eco-friendly or eco-friendlier or something.
It's still the same thing.
That's so hectic about the children thing that they'd say that, because now imagine if they have a third child, then everyone will call the third child a mistake because they said they'd only have two. Now that child has to live with the fact that he might have been a mistake. He's a royal mistake.
Well, if you're going to be a mistake, let's
rather be a royal mistake. Unlike some of us who are just, okay, shame on you. What if they have twins next time?
Two royal mistakes.
See? And then what do you do or say there?
Well, you can use the Zulu culture from way back when twins were born, it was considered that one was evil. So they would put sand down their throat and kill them. That's what I was taught.
I think Elton John might have a problem with that.
He might.
I've never heard of that before. That's a little awkward.
I learned it in studying Zulu.
Well, here's something that I'll just own up properly and admit that I did. So I saw that post by Sussex Royal on Instagram.
Okay,
as they were
talking
about their trip to South Africa over the weekend. And so they had that whole long caption, and then they say that they'll be doing a lot of work with various organizations in South Africa as well. I went through all of those NGOs and NPOs, and I started liking all of them. I was like, who do I know who works for that organization? How can I make sure that I am there just to plant carrots or something in a garden when the Duke and Duchess walk in?
What would you say to them?
Yo, what's up, girl? Megan.
I missed you on Suits.
I'm like, Megan, you done made it, girl. This is great business for you. That's what I want to say to them. But on another royal note, though, Thomas Markle is back in the news. This is Meghan Markle's father. He's back in the news because he's doing interviews again. And I thought I had forgiven him because he was keeping quiet. And I thought, yeah, there's hope that you would actually meet and be, you know, welcomed into the royal family, but they must stop doing interviews. He's back doing interviews again.
He got in trouble because he missed the wedding or something. Well, why did everyone start hating him?
Because he faked, he was doing interviews and then he was faking paparazzi shots
of him
just building up to the wedding. And then they end up saying, oh no, he's sick and that's why he can't make the wedding. That's a lie.
Did they uninvite him to the wedding?
I think they just didn't want him there.
Jeez.
So he's now speaking out again. Yesterday he had an interview with, is it the Daily Mail or the Sunday Mail? And he says that he still hopes to meet his grandson, Archie. He says, of course I'm disappointed not to see Archie. I had hoped becoming a mother would mellow Meghan and she would reach out. But clearly that isn't the case. There was never any problem between Meghan and me until recently. I've stayed quiet because Meghan was pregnant with Archie. But I'm speaking out now because they and their PR people are continuing to ghost me out of their life.
Well, there's proper mad beef. She won't let him even see her child. Wow. What happened to not holding grudges?
Do you blame her, though?
Okay, I understand it was pretty bad, the paparazzi. But this is a whole new world for him. He's not used to this. He probably wants to live out the remainder of his life as a celebrity for the next like 10 years that he has or something.
I still stand by what we've discussed way earlier in the show when this started erupting, which is, if you were so unsure about what is happening, if you didn't know what to do, then all he had to do was contact Meghan first. But he acted on things first, which was his mistaken downfall.
But devil's advocate, remember when Meghan went into the role of, was she princess or something?
Well, Duchess.
Duchess. She got trained how to be a duchess. Do you think anyone trained him on how to be a duchess's father?
Ooh, you're being extra kind. I don't have that sympathy at all. He continued on to say, sometimes I get the feeling people think I don't love my daughter. I do love her very much. I would love nothing more than to put a picture of Archie in a frame and place it beside the one of Megan. Well, go on to Google Images, Tom.
They're on their second one, aren't they?
Their second what?
Child.
No.
Oh, they only got one child?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do you have sympathy for him, Leanne?
No.
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
That is very quick and straightforward. Yeah, because I just think, stop talking. Stop being in the public
domain.
Yeah, in the public light, because this is just not helping your case at all. The more you talk about her and the more you talk about the family, it's off-putting to them. These people want a very private life.
Mm.
And also, let's just be blunt and call a thing a thing. They weren't exactly the closest people even before all of this as well. They were estranged for many, many years. So I don't blame them. You know, just now that you're marrying into this and have married into this famous family, doesn't mean everything will be sorted.
Doesn't Meghan have a sister as well?
Yeah.
And who's she dating? Wasn't there a story behind that?
Well, are we talking about the sister who's in a wheelchair who does random interviews herself?
No, I thought she had a sister that was dating like someone off one of those reality TV shows, and that was like a scandal.
Hmm,
or a different story.
Yeah, might be a different story. Anyway, well, shame to Thomas Markle, I guess, to a certain extent, but also just keep quiet and don't say anything.
Is she on good terms with her mother, though?
Yes, very.
That's the mother who
spends time with her.
Always around. Anyway, what else is in the news?
Flax, you've got something, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
So, do you guys want to know how much billionaires make in an hour? So, I've recently looked into, you know how you have like return on investment,
mm-hmm.
but no one ever thinks of their return on time. So you have a certain qualification and you're getting paid a certain amount in a certain amount of time, and then you work it backwards and you see, oh, I'm making 100 rand an hour or something's not worth it.
Mm.
But now listen to how much celebrities make an hour, and we'll start at the bottom and work our way up.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter,
mm-hmm.
in a single hour, he makes $205,000. In an hour.
Just one more time?
It could even be his lunch hour.
He could literally go to gym for an hour and come back richer than when he walked through the door.
Wait, how much?
$205,000 an hour.
Wait, I'm just trying to
calculate. And he's at the bottom of the list.
$205,000.
I think times it, what, by 17?
I think 16. So 14. For the US dollar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just over 3 million.
3 million an hour in rands. You can't even spend that. You could buy a Lamborghini every hour.
He makes in an hour what I
will never make in your lifetime.
Like, I'm trying to calculate how many months it would take me. Yeah, I'm not even close. Maybe a good decade.
He probably, like, you know, like when you're in like a car crash and you have to take photos and wait for the tow truck. He's probably like, nah, I literally make more money just leaving the car. Here's the keys. I'll buy another one.
Ooh.
But as I said, he's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
We have Alice Walton. I think she's the CEO of Walmart.
Okay.
Or she owns Walmart right now. $1.3 million an hour.
You know,
that would be 16 million rand.
How does that feel to you when you know how badass you are?
You got to have a good idea and go with it.
If I'm making a million plus an hour, you cannot say a thing to me.
I wouldn't even know how to spend it, though. Like, imagine 16 million rand in an hour.
Yeah, because you bought the houses.
You could literally just buy building after building after building. Anything you see, you just touch and it's yours.
Shucks. Okay, who else is on this list?
So, at the top of the list, take a guess who would be at the top of the list.
Yeah, it would be like a Bezos.
So, Jeff Bezos,
yeah.
In a single hour, makes $4.4 million in an hour. And remember that Jeff Bezos, when he started out, he was literally putting books into little boxes in his basement. He would then drive those boxes to the post office and ship them off. And that's how Amazon started.
So that's 66 million rand.
An hour. I think you could buy a mansion every single hour.
I want to properly cry at that. Look, kudos to all of these people because they do work hard and, you know, or they've just had a great idea. But, man, 66 million rands. Is this rands or dollars? Rands an hour.
His net worth is $110 billion. I don't even think he can spend that amount of money. You'd have to buy island government after government.
But also countries. In the same breath, though, their equivalent of SARS, so the IRS in the States, must be having a party every single time these people have to do
They coin it from this guy every time he gets a paycheck.
I'm sure they just spend a day with champagne and tequila, like, okay, Bill Gates, time to file your taxes.
He could, you know how like you can like buy your way into countries? Like if you invest enough into Australia, they'll give you citizenship.
Right.
He could literally get citizenship in every single place on earth.
Is Bill Gates on that list?
Bill Gates is...
Where is he now in the standing of the world's richest?
Bill Gates is third from the bottom. Oh. Bill Gates only makes $456,000 an hour.
Look, it's...
Even Elon Musk is above Bill Gates.
It's
and Warren Buffett above him, Bill Gates.
So there's a new documentary. I bring Bill Gates up because there's a new documentary on Netflix about him. Have you heard or seen the trailer?
No, what's it called?
It's called Inside Bill's Brain, Decoding Bill Gates. And I actually think by the looks and the sounds of it, it would be some fascinating viewing. So take a listen to this.
Bill Gates. What's your favorite animal?
Dog.
What's your favorite food?
Hamburger.
What do you eat for breakfast?
Nothing.
What is your worst fear?
I don't want my brain to stop working.
Bill is a multiprocessor. He'll be reading something else, but then processing at the same time. It's chaos.
He thrives on complexity.
He makes a framework in his mind, and then he starts slotting in the information.
If something doesn't line up and he gets really frustrated, it's scary.
But when Bill stills himself, he can pull ideas together that other people can't see.
At Microsoft, I worked night and day, and that was how I made sure Microsoft stayed ahead.
I could be so extreme.
You never understood the first thing about this.
Microsoft hit a new record high on Wall Street.
Rivals paint a dark picture.
He'll do whatever he can to capture more of the market.
Our mother wanted him to focus on community and family.
I gave my mom a hard time not following what she wanted.
You don't raise a family hyper-focused in your head.
Each one of us has to start out with developing his or her own definition of success.
I had the wrong way of looking at things. In life, you have to decide what's important in the world. I will look at energy, climate change, and disease eradication. It's important that we start deploying solutions unnaturally fast.
We are running out of time here.
He tends to look at problems from unusual angles.
There hasn't been innovation in nuclear energy for 25 years.
What are the odds of getting the job done?
If you want to make a dent in this, you better think in wholesale magnitudes.
He's at his best when the deck is stacked against him.
There's many challenges.
This is harder than I expected.
Ultimately, it's not what you get. It's what you become.
Whoa. That's nice and deep. Inside Bill's Brain, that's the new Netflix documentary on Bill's life. Well, it will be a 3-part series.
Sounds like it's going to be really good. Yeah. I love it when they go like behind the scenes.
Yeah, so it's not just about the life and times of Bill Gates. It's something really specific.
And more than that, it's always cool that things like these come out when the person can tell their own story. You know, it's not just now like, oh, well, his colleagues and his family are telling the story. We're actually getting to hear firsthand from him. And I think it's quite cool to live this life where really he's worked so super hard and he has incredible success. But now I think like for the past, I'll say like 20 years easily, Bill has been more, look, I love how, you know, Bill is my friend. Bill from the corner there.
Clinton.
Bill has been on this quest to really make change. It's not about, oh, can I make more money now? It's not about what else can I do to become even more famous, but it really is about, you know, let's solve the problems of the world. And that's what he's currently working on. So I'd actually give something like this a watch. I think it's quite cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, despite however much he's working on. So two people have actually hopped on a comment I've made it just a little earlier. So 0797482090, you can message us there. Carl and, I'm trying to get his name, Danny, both brought up, very interestingly, Amazon didn't have to pay taxes. They didn't have to pay federal income tax. Look, you've sent me a link, Danny. I'll do some more reading up on it, but I'm a little shocked by this. Carl says, "Sir, Amazon did not pay a single cent of federal tax last year, despite how much profit they made. I've never heard of this. Maybe if someone else has heard of this, they'll be able to add on it, but I find this shocking and odd."
It seems like something that came out in the news in the beginning of August.
It's probably their business model that they've created.
Well, what sort of business model is that?
I have no clue.
Because I want to sign up to that thing, if that's the case. It sounds very simple and stupid of me, but oh well. Brandon says, "Close to all billionaires in the USA pay less income tax than the middle class. Some avoid tax entirely, Jeff Bezos included. This is through complex structures within their company. Some billionaires, such as Tom Strayer, admit this openly."
They also, yeah, donations, tax, it's called tax avoidance.
Evasion.
I thought it was called avoidance to avoid the word evasion.
Oh, perhaps you're right. I don't know.
No, wait, guys, really?
I'm not a fair with avoiding or evading tax.
Is that part of your criterion this morning?
Yes.
Okay. No, I will bluntly admit I've never heard of this before. And so I want to do more investigation before I actually comment on it. And then Kucho says, but wait, that money isn't necessarily hard cash. This is to what you were talking about earlier, Michael, around how much money they make an hour. And the value you're talking about fluctuates constantly. If an Amazon share decreased by 1%, that value probably tanks by billions.
Yeah, there's been a day where he lost like $10 billion in a day.
Ah, there we go. And then we love Kucho for correcting us even further, saying avoidance is legal, evasion is illegal.
Okay, there we go.
So it's tax avoidance. I love that our listeners are smarter than us.
I know, it's so great.
That Jeff Bezos has literally dug himself the biggest grave since he cheated on his wife. He's like losing the title for being the richest man in the world now, mm-hmm. because he started Amazon when they were together. So he had to give her 50%.
Yeah.
So it came to like $45-50 billion. So he automatically loses the richest man in the world.
Well, I actually,
and he's known as a cheater, which is even worse than that.
Well, you know, that is actually funny because I have not thought of him as a cheater since this whole scandal broke out. Like, it's, yes, we know it, but I haven't really thought of him in that light. When I now think of Jeff Bezos, I think he's the hunky billionaire who's now living his best life. Have you seen recent pictures of him?
Yeah, he's working out. Eh?
And he's like on yachts now with this new Lauren Sanchez. Then he's in little tiny shorts. I'm like, okay, live your best life, Jeff. I'm for it. And you know what? To the ex, what's her name again? I forgot her name. Good for her, because she now has billions and she's also, yeah, they can both go on the merry odd way.
But how can this Lauren, you said her name was Lauren.
Lauren Sanchez, yeah.
Be with Jeff knowing that he cheated on another person with her.
Jeez, you've got very high values.
If he's done it once, why would he not do it again?
Are you sure you don't have the mind of a woman?
No, I'm just thinking, like, why would you date a cheater? They're like, they've done the mistake once. Do you think they've just, they've learned?
Well, I can tell you from experience, just from my little life of experience, that if you meet a man through him cheating on someone that he's already with.
Like that sick girl, Leanne. He's going to cheat on you.
Yeah. Whenever I go on like dates or like trying to get to know someone, a question I always ask is, have you ever cheated on someone? Like not first date, but further down the line, because that tells a lot about that person. If they're willing to cheat on someone, I believe they're willing to cheat on someone again and again and again. Surely it's
so
like,
have you ever cheated on someone?
No, I've never cheated because I'd never want to be cheated on.
Have you ever asked someone that and they admitted they have?
Yes, and I've literally lost interest in them.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's like the most disgusting thing, to actively go and hurt someone like that. You could literally just call it off if it's not working and then go have your second cup of tea.
I had the exact same attitude until I cheated on someone.
Oh, Leah. Oh, you've lived, honey. Okay.
I story on time. My husband.
What happened? Oh, jeez.
And I was the first to cheat. But I felt the exact same way about that you do until I was in a situation when it happened.
Oh, hectic.
Okay, but to get a bigger picture of things, because, you know, Michael, like, I get where you are coming from when you say something like that. But to me, I think there are also a lot of things that come into play.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I think if you... Yeah, I'm not excusing cheating, but I think there are a lot of things that come into play, and some people might do it not because they actually want to do it, but it's like, well, I just feel like I'm sticking this out for the sake of the kids and I'm not really interested anymore, and then they go.
Or you do it to get attention.
Yeah, why did you do it?
Yeah, to get attention. I was in a situation where he wasn't responding to me in any way, physically or anything like that.
How far into the marriage was this?
7 years, 5 years.
And did you do it so that he finds out?
Not at first, but then he just angered me more and more, and so I told him.
Whoa.
Sat him down and told him.
You see, this is why I think there are different aspects to different 100%. Things that come into play. And I think...
Now everyone will have a difference of opinion on it, which is perfectly normal.
And that's why I wouldn't rule out not dating someone who's cheated before. It might be an unpopular opinion, but to me it's like...
Yeah, I guess I could expand my mind a bit further on it.
And then it's a little... It might be a little naive, but I also don't want to know about a person's past much.
Yeah, I
unless
also
it's
don't.
A criminal record, great, tell me. Otherwise, I don't want to know how many people you've slept with, whether you've been divorced or not. What is that? I don't want to know that, because I believe if you and I are going to be together, then we're building something... And we can't compare it to the past.
When I was like much younger and like started dating people, I'd always go onto their Facebook and like stalk till the day they started Facebook just to get to know the person. And then I reached a point maybe like a couple of years back where I was like, no more. You don't judge them on their past and all that stuff. And
I mean, think about how different you are now to when you first started Facebook.
And you're just going to grill yourself. You're just going to go through photos of them and their exes and try to compare yourself to this and they dated for their, etc. Just let their sort of their past and the bigger picture of things like be in their past. Mm. But their past still defines who they are today as well. So it's sort of like a little mixture.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, the past is good in certain cases to inform you on what you're getting yourself into. Like, I often go back to see the type of people that this person I'm interested in has dated. And then that's the only thing I compare myself on. I'm like, I'm better, okay, right. Am I smarter?
Look
yeah,
at that
okay,
confidence.
Yeah. I need to boost myself up in other ways. I'm like, okay, that was a bit of a metal head. Okay, so he's into some metal music. Sure, I can pretend to be interested in that. And that's what I use the past for. You've done before, I don't really care.
I actually recently met a couple who have this very interesting sort of relationship whereby when they go out, they don't cling to each other. They let each other sort of get flirted on by other guys.
Excuse me?
But just flirting, just chatting, just like purely platonic chatting and being flirting, because their view is that it decreases the chance of them wanting to cheat because they're getting that attention. So they know that they're getting the attention from another guy or another girl, and it sort of like fills their void, and it's working for them. I thought it was very interesting.
It is very interesting.
Like, I think I'd be very chilled with that because it's purely platonic. There's no physical anything. It's literally just an ego boost. And I don't think there's anything wrong with an ego boost once in a while.
How long have they been together for?
They've been together for like 4 years. But I'm not talking about like every Saturday night. It's like once in a blue moon, if you're at the bar and you see a guy talking to a girl, they just let it be because they just... chatting, and it's just an ego boost,
and they're committed to each other, yeah, they 100%. Love each other, and
I thought it was quite interesting, and it might actually work.
I don't think I'd be able to do that.
I'd be willing to try.
I'm far too jealous.
Yeah. No. Don't breathe in another guy's direction. Don't look at another in another guy's direction. You do not know another living human being with two legs, a heart, and a penis, like, kind except of for me.
And it's obviously suffocating. I mean, as we know. But
in what way?
To be like that, towards someone.
No, it is not suffocating. If you're in a relationship with me, well, this is exactly why I'm not in a relationship. You need to be focusing on me and me alone.
But then you're eliminating the two core fundamentals of a relationship, which is trust and commitment.
Okay.
So if you're getting jealous, it's as if you're not trusting.
Sign me.
Well, don't unfortunately, sign me up. Mike, I can't trust men because I've been burned too many times.
Mm.
I will never trust men again.
Don't say that.
Sorry.
I feel like you say this now, and then in 4 months' time, you're like, guys, I have an announcement. So I'm moving to South America. He's an agave farmer. So we'll be making tequila on our farm. Lots of space for our dogs and cats to go running around.
Okay, you can write my feature. Yeah. I'll allow you.
Yeah, to each his or her own, but it's also very twisted. I think if you make the commitment to be with someone, that's a big commitment. And I think that's testament to us and why we often talk about it on the show here, because it is a big commitment to make. But just quickly, if you're talking about people who are in relationships for a very long time and who still spice things up in weird ways, well, 6 senior citizens were caught having public sex in the US.
Oh, good on them. Good
in
on
the
them.
US. I love this. This is amazing. 6 senior citizens, their ages range from 62 to 85 years old. They were discovered at the Grace Richardson Conservation. So it was, you know, open land somewhere in Connecticut, in Fairfield, Connecticut. And police have said that this is actually a notorious hookup spot. And you can even Google it. You can Google the fact that, you know, this is
You Google Earth It?
A nice place for people to go around and, like, have fun. And these 6 senior citizens were arrested for having group sex in public.
So they were all in it at the same time. It wasn't like isolated incidents of Mary and John behind the corner. And
no, they were schlooping and shipping
Betty
together.
And Bruce.
But now this makes it even saucier. There were 6 of them that were arrested. Only one was a woman.
Oh my goodness. Jeez. Wow. That's
I'd love
go
to
Betty.
Be the GoPro on that officer doing the initial find.
I think this is all incredible. Whatever they were doing, why they were doing... Look, they were having fun. And who says you can't have fun? How old was the oldest? 85. Who says you can't have fun at 85
Probably
years old?
Popping Viagra like Smarties.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to get the visuals. And at the same time, I don't want to get the visual. Because it's like, well, there were 5 guys and one...
and one officer.
Sure. And little old Betty.
So kudos to them, okay? I just thought let's drop
6 month supply of Viagra.
Jeez, like.
Let's drop that one in. So let's just go to a quick song as well, and then we'll be back discussing something that, you know, it might not be the sexiest thing to discuss, but I think we all need to learn more about this. You know, a growing problem among prostate cancer patients in South Africa is that they are not given balanced information on all the available treatment options for early prostate cancer. So this means that they are often not being made aware of the potentially severe side effects of some treatments. So it might not be sexy or all too comforting to discuss something like this, but we have a representative from the Prostate Cancer Foundation who will be chatting to us and giving us more information around this. Actually, September was well known for prostate cancer awareness, and the Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa was running a campaign around it. So we'll be getting to find out a little more information on prostate cancer, because look, yeah, you may not know when it might hit or when or why it might hit. Look, you don't even know the why, but it's more about equipping yourself with some information. So straight after this, and then some more news stories. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Ride to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop.
Skipping. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Drink, say my name. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up. I said Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up. Dance, jump on it, if you suck, said and flown it, if you freak dead and own it, don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance. Jump on it, if you've succeeded and flown it.
Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe it, just watch.
All right, this is the Gareth Cliff Show. Let's get chatting with the Prostate Cancer Foundation for South Africa. We have on the line the CEO of the foundation. His name is Andrew Oberholzer. Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking some time just to chat to us this morning. I was saying a little before the song break that, you know, it might not be the most comforting discussion to have. It might not be the sexiest conversation to have, but I definitely think we need to be having these types of conversations in order to raise awareness and to learn more. So prostate cancer, well, the month of September was a big month for prostate cancer and prostate cancer awareness. Can you tell us a little more about the work that the Prostate Cancer Foundation was doing in September?
Okay, so Prostate Cancer Foundation does education and awareness with men, which is challenging because men tend to not be as good with their health as women. And one of the big issues is there's no symptoms with prostate cancer in the early stages. So it's to make men aware of the importance of screening. And screening for prostate cancer involves two simple tests. The one is a little blood test called a PSA test. And the other test is the test that men are particularly afraid of, and that's called the digital rectal examination, where the doctor inserts a lubricated thing into the rectum to actually feel the prostate for any lumps or bumps. So we really encourage men to go for screening from the age of 40 for all black guys or anyone with a history of prostate or breast cancer in the family, and from the age of 45 for everyone else.
Why do you think, you know, one of your biggest challenges is just to get word out there? Do you think people are they just don't want to have these types of conversations? Do you think it's still, like, I don't know.
So there is a bit of a stigma attached to prostate cancer. The prostate is part of a man's sexual organs. It produces most of the, a lot of the fluid that the sperm are carried in. I think one of the fears is the side effects of treatment for prostate cancer. So men who, when the prostate cancer is caught early, have the option of either having radiation treatment or surgical treatment. And both of those treatments, the side effects can be erectile dysfunction or urinary incontinence, which is the leaking of urine. And I think men obviously hear about these things. And those are not necessarily going to happen to every man. A small percentage of men will have complications or side effects, and often those will go away as time goes on. So I think there's that fear of the side effects.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, the fear of the screening. And a lot of men think, I'd rather not know about it, which is not a good strategy, because if prostate cancer is caught once it has spread throughout the body, then it can't actually be treated or cured. It can only be delayed. And that's a massive problem in South Africa with men presenting very late. We call that metastatic prostate cancer. And then the treatment is to actually take testosterone away. Now, you'll know that testosterone is the male hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It's what gives men their energy, the ability to concentrate, their sex drive, their muscle strength and muscle mass. So taking testosterone away has some nasty side effects as well. And that's really why we encourage men to go for their screening, so that it can be caught early and that it, before it's actually spread.
Look, and let's just be honest, this is something that we all should be paying attention to, but particularly here in South Africa, because I just read the other day that more than 4,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year in this country.
Yes, that's a massive problem, because prostate cancer tends to affect black men at a younger age, and they often get a more aggressive, fast-growing type of prostate cancer. We don't know what the reason for that is either. So obviously a lot of research going into that. So that's why we recommend that black guys go for screening from around the age of 40, because a lot of them will get prostate cancer at a younger age, and we want to try and catch it as early as possible. And just another interesting statistic is that if prostate cancer is caught in the early stages, there's a cure rate of about 98% after 5 years, whereas if it's actually spread, the cure rate after 5 years is only 30%, which means 70% of men will actually die from prostate cancer. So
shucks,
you can see just how important that early detection is. And that's really a lot of what we as Prostate Cancer Foundation do, is just educate men about prostate cancer and the importance of screening for early detection.
So if there's one thing you'd implore any man listening now to do, what would that be?
To just to educate themselves about not just prostate cancer, but about their health generally, and know when to go for screening tests for prostate cancer and for other diseases. So men are very good at taking their cars for a service and doing preventative maintenance with their motor cars, and we'd really just encourage men to take ownership of their health and to do these screening tests for cardiovascular disease and for prostate cancer, because it can save them a whole host of problems later on if they're just going for their regular checkups.
Well, and I know that the Prostate Cancer Foundation does a lot of work in terms of education and dispersing information as well. So where can we go for more of this? Do you guys have a website? Are there social media handles that we can follow?
Yeah, so the social media handle is just Prostate Cancer SA. Mm-hmm. And then we have a website, prostatecancerfoundation.co.za. And we also have a telephone helpline, which you'll find on the website. And on the Facebook page, there's a lot of information on our Facebook page. This is the month that we suit up to help with prostate cancer awareness. So we call it Suit Up September, and we encourage sports clubs, companies and organizations to wear a suit on the 27th of September. They can buy stickers from us, little Suit Up September stickers for 20 rand, and that helps us also to raise funds and raise awareness. So September's Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, suit up, but also get a checkup if you haven't been doing your checkups. And by doing those simple things, we can really make a massive impact on reducing this prostate cancer by detecting it early in South Africa.
Well, great. Andrew, thank you so much for making some time to chat to us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. And we'll hope to see that suited up on the 27th of September.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Andrew. That's Andrew Oberholzer from the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Yeah, it is something to take note of, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, women have the same issue with early detection of breast cancer, which can really help. Mm-hmm. And it's recommended that women go for a mammogram from about the age of 40. And it creeps up on you, hey? Just be warned. You seem to think it's so far in the future. But I would also recommend, rather say in your head you'll go at the age of 38 or 36.
What? So that if you delay it, you'll end up going
because
on time at 40?
Because if you say in your mind 40, you'll end up going when you're 42 or 43.
Oh, no.
You should go every couple of years and just get your entire body checked out. Even for things that you'd never know. Just let the doctor take an hour or two with you and just have a full scan. An MRI or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and I don't often generalize, but it is such a man thing to not take care of ourselves.
To ignore and delay.
Yeah, it's I know so many men who haven't even been to the GP in a year or two. I have the flu, I'll just sleep it off. I'll buy some Medlamin on my way home. They don't really pay attention to a lot of things.
That's why you need to understand that these guys, these doctors, they're researching this stuff every day. You do not know more than them. And that is why these cancer organizations are so great. Mm-hmm. Because I've always, as of recently, now that I've got involved in cancer organizations, since my grand passed away from cancer, which was 3 years, mm-hmm. It's actually crazy. It's 3 years today. Today was the day.
Oh, wow.
I was even on the show when I found out and
so
I left.
My grand passed away 4 years ago yesterday.
Oh, mad.
Yeah.
And what are the chances that this was the guest for today? I'm a firm believer in the divine presence of hints and when things show up in the world, if you just slow things down, you might actually see the messages, etc. But what I was saying with these cancer organizations, I feel like cancer is one of those things where it doesn't matter who you are, where you're in life or what age you are. If cancer is coming for you, cancer is going to come for you. And it's more of a reactive stance now. And one of the first reactive stances, which I think is getting the knowledge on how to approach it. When you're going for a fight and cancer is a fight, the person that prepares the most outside of the ring will win the fight.
Preach.
So as soon as you find out or you suspect, you should approach these organizations because they've been researching for years and years and years on a specific type of cancer, and they'll know 10 times more than you. And you can get a jump start by quickly going to one of these organizations, finding out about it and every single possible solution out there and just try everything.
Yeah,
cancer is something you give your all and you smash it hard.
I do think part of the problem, though, is it's sometimes better to just not know.
What do you mean?
Going and having your test done or having some sort of examination, you will have to deal with the truth. It's either you know you're diagnosed with something and oh Lord, okay, here we go. Now I have to deal with this. Some people are just ignorance but is bliss. Let me just go on for as long as possible.
It's better the devil you know
than the devil you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's better the devil you don't know. No, it's better the devil you
better
know.
Better the devil you know than you don't know.
Yeah. Is it a song?
It was, and my biological father wrote the song.
No way.
He's in his band, yeah.
Oh, mad.
And it went to number 2 in the world.
What was the band called?
Stingray.
Say it with me, everyone. Stingray. Leanne, you have lived. I know my dad is just out. He's just conducted the Easter service at church. Oh, by the way, here's something else that happened this weekend. You know, I consider myself a CEO when it comes to attending church, Christmas, Easter only.
Isn't church on your house?
Yeah, well, not anymore. So it's just not my
vibe. Oh, you moved.
Yeah. So every now and then I do go to church when I feel haven't been in a while. I really do want to have a nice experience. So I went to church yesterday, but I went to one of these big, big, big churches that, the mega churches, hundreds of people all there at the same time. And I had a little chuckle to myself because, during the service, everyone is singing and praising Jesus and you hold hands and it's a kumbaya moment. And I had never experienced so much road rage driving out of the church that
I did yesterday. Everything was undone.
You lost Jesus at the door.
Everyone lost Jesus when they were driving out of that place. Like, I mean, I've gone to concerts. You are at a shopping center on a Saturday morning. You could not compare it to what I experienced yesterday. And I was packing up laughing in the car thinking, I just held hands with you. And we were praying 2 seconds ago. Now everyone's just like hooting, like, get out of the way and move out of the way.
Turn to your brother next to you and give him a handshake. And then you're like finding the bat in your boot on the way out.
What happened to like brotherly and, you know, godly spirit? Why don't we all let each other pass through in traffic? And why don't you just pause and not mind it at all? Well, yeah.
At church, obviously I'm Jewish, so I go to shul. But after shul, like on a Saturday, straight afterwards, there'll be this thing called a brocha, whereby it's just like a buffet of food and everyone can eat. Do they do that at church?
Some churches.
We sometimes have tea and cakes afterwards.
Oh, not like full-blown meals sponsored by people?
No.
No. And it's not like...
There's no money in Christianity. Sorry,
yeah, we don't do that. No.
Each to his own. You go home and you have your spa cheese rolls.
That's it. You get your blessings elsewhere. Yeah. Like, we're done. Can I bring the story up before we wrap this morning's show?
You're going to, aren't you?
Yeah, I did ask for approval, even though I'm going to, regardless. If I could picture my worst scenario, one of the worst scenarios I could have experienced, this is possibly right up there. It took place in Germany, an apartment building in Germany. The people, the residents of this apartment building, could not live in this building for 5 days last week. Any guesses why?
Fumigation.
Rats or rodents or something.
Michael, you're warming up, but something more horrific.
Lice.
There was a venomous snake somewhere in the building. And it's a deadly cobra, actually.
Oh.
And the residents were not allowed back in their building for those 5 days. My skin is crawling at the mere thought. And this is what happened. I would curse my neighbor for filth. It all actually happened because there's a guy who lives in the building who kept around 20 venomous snakes in his flat. One of the snakes went out and on the loose, was discovered in the rest of the building, and it's venomous to the point where experts could not take any chances. So said everyone had to leave the building.
I mean, a cobra will kill you in a few hours.
Everyone had to leave the building and could not go back home up until the snake was captured. And it took 5 whole days for experts to find it. I would jump on that body corporate and get everyone to kick that dude out. I mean, what is more frustrating than that? It was over 1 meter long. It's an Asian, it's of Asian descent, this cobra.
I actually think they're less venomous than our very own Cape cobra, of which I had one on my stoop.
What?
When I lived in McGregor near the Karoo.
Everyone was told just to close their windows and avoid long grass and dense vegetation as they were exiting the building. Emergency services had tried to track the cobra by spreading flour in the buildings under surveillance in the hope that it would leave a trail. And so,
I think there's better solutions. There's got to be better solutions than putting flour on the floor expecting the tooth fairy to walk past.
That's actually a good point. Look, I'm imagining, okay, guys, don't worry. The experts are here. They're here. You know, we can have confidence in them, and then they like start spreading flour.
Surely you get snake traps where you put like bait in it and it goes and eats it and the trap closes and now you've caught the snake.
But don't cobras like eat every once in a while maybe?
Oh yeah, very true. Or put some cats in there and like wait, put like GoPros on the cats and wait till they find it.
Listen, my cats, the 4 of them, chased the cobra out.
You see, cats come in handy.
Yeah, during the search, medical personnel were on standby with an antidote to the snake's powerful venom if someone had been attacked. And so the owner from whose collection this cobra escaped had around 20 other snakes that were seized as well since this
horrible, you shouldn't be holding animals like that in cages, in complexes.
Well, imagine just minding your own business and you go back home and already your building is all like closed off. Like, sorry, can't go home.
Now,
there might be a cobra coming up your drain.
I'd be so pissed.
His lease is up.
Yeah, he's done. I don't want to live with him anymore. And that's it. We're calling it a day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We're literally calling it a day. Right now.
Thanks, Leah. And I see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to end it off on that note. Anyone else have anything to add?
Just have a positive week. It's Monday.
Oh, yay.
It's only going to be a good week if you think it's going to be a good week.
Sorry, Michael.
All starts in the mind.
Just need to write that down again. Mm. It's only going
to be... Power of positive a good
week.
Energy.
A good week.
If.
Nah, I forgot it now. It's only going to be a good week if you think it's going to be a good week.
And just think.
Think it into existence.
Monday morning is almost over. And the next time you have to experience it again is in 7 days' time.
Put that on the back of a sugar packet, damn it. Tato, sorry, we didn't get to your message in time. Something about credit card interest and an answer. I think it was to Anthea's point a little earlier. And then Ruth says, truth is, we think our generation knows it all. We can honestly take a page from other historic pages. Okay. Use that, don't use it. That's it. It's been the Gareth Cliff Show. Thank you so much for having us on. Tomorrow, we continue. The show does go on. Thank you so much. That's been the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.